John says, little 1 John chapter 1, he talks about they handled him and they saw and they didn't just talk with him, but it was God that they was dealing with. Think about that. Ain't that amazing? It is God with us. Matthew chapter 2. Before I forget, if y'all that's on Facebook and post stuff on Facebook, you might want to share that the services are canceled tonight and we're just going to do live stream to get as much information out there as possible. We don't want nobody... Pardon? Okay. All right. Pass along on your personal ones as well. All right? All right, everybody there, Matthew chapter 2. Now, there's a lot of Christmas messages, a lot of things, and this is going to be a Christmas message this morning. That's a lot of verses. We could use a lot, and we could just go through the Scripture and start in Genesis and read all the way through. And that will be a Christmas story. It'll be an Easter, and it's Christmas message and Easter message. It'll be a 4th of July message. It'll be a Labor Day message. It'll be any holiday. We can find it right in there because there's Scripture to pertain to it. But we're going to try to learn to celebrate Christmas this morning. How's that? Let's pray together. Can we? Father, I come. Lord, you are most wonderful. And we appreciate all those that's come out this morning. And, you know, we could look negative and say not many come, but Lord, there's more here today than a lot of churches have on a perfect spring morning. And Father, I pray that you might bless everyone's effort to bless them for coming to your house. And for those who could not come, those who are sick, many are trying to get over things, and many just couldn't make it this morning. Bless them, encourage them. Lord, many requests, many needs. Lord, many spoken, many unspoken. Lord, a lot of needs going on this week. I pray, oh God, that you might touch and encourage and supply the needs. You're so faithful. Jonathan sung about it. You're faithful to us. Now, Lord, please cleanse me. I'm nothing. I'm filthy. I'm a wretch. I know that. Cleanse me. And Lord, help me to preach, and I might magnify and honor you this morning. Magnify your wonderful name. May you bless the Scripture, I pray. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Matthew chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. We'll read down to verse 12. All right, Matthew chapter 2. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had probably brought the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, we understand that this is not the night of Christ's birth. We understand that. But we're talking about baby Jesus. We're talking about Christmas. We're talking about the things that we ought to be doing maybe in at Christmas time. And so this morning, if you want a title, it's just going to be simply, How to Celebrate Christmas. How to celebrate Christmas, right? Really simple. You know, we got parties. That's good. We got dinners. That's really good. We got plays and programs. That's great. We got lights. We got trees. We got snowmen. We got candy canes. We've got fudge. We've got cocoa. We've got Santa Claus. We've got reindeer. We've got the North Pole. We've got mistletoe, and we've got holly, and we've got greenery everywhere. Oh, ain't all that great? Yeah. I mean, all of that's great. I love the decorations. I like the decorations here. I love it all. That's all. We celebrate Christmas that way. That's how we do. We put wreaths out, the lighted houses. I've not got yet to go look at all the lights. One evening, when Cheryl will... We'll go over to the park where we have youth camp, and we'll look at all the lights, and we'll go all through town. We'll go through some of the country places, and people have they spend hundreds of dollars putting up their blow-ups and their lights and everything, and all that's great. And that's how people celebrate Christmas. And that's all okay. That's all okay. I don't personally believe in some things, but yet I'm not going to knock it. I'm just going to go ahead and celebrate Christmas. Huh? I like candy canes. I don't eat nobody's fudge but my mother, so I don't reckon I'll ever eat another piece of fudge. But she's gone. But I always think of fudge. Never did have fudge other than Christmas. Potato candy. Anybody familiar with potato candy? Potato candy and fudge was our big deal growing up celebrating Christmas. We didn't have it any other time of the year. It was potato candy and fudge, and everybody celebrates different. But all them things are good, but there's a biblical way. There's a biblical way to celebrate Christmas. And we really maybe could title this Celebrating Christmas 365 Days a Year. We could even make that the title, but that'll work fine as well. But I want us to look at something this morning, and it's all right here in the Scripture, so we'll see what we can find. Is everybody all right? Well, let's look here to start with. Verse 1, it says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, well, that's Christmas, ain't it? Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I think it's all right there in the last part of verse 2. How can we celebrate Christmas? How do we celebrate him? Well, we're going to have to worship him. If you want to really celebrate Christmas, we need to worship. That's how come we can do it 365 days a year and celebrate Christmas. The main thing about Christmas is Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. We know these things, but we ought to worship. And we want you to look at a couple of things here. It says here to start with that wise men was seeking him. All right, so wise men sought him. We preached a message not that many years ago on wise men still seeking. And I've heard others preach with the same title, that wise men are still seeking Jesus. Well, can I tell you, the greatest, the smartest, the best thing you could ever do would be seek the presence of Jesus Christ to worship and adore and praise him, for he is worthy of all this morning. He's worthy. We sung hallelujah, what a Savior, huh? And I believe that fits, all right? When I think about these wise men, now we're talking about worship just for a moment, all right? How to celebrate Christmas, worship. How to celebrate Easter, worship. How to celebrate being saved, worship. How to celebrate how good he's been to you, worship. How to celebrate Thanksgiving, worship. How to celebrate heaven, worship. How to celebrate Him coming again, just worship. Yeah. Worship this morning. Worship. I can't worship for you. Can't give your worship. I can't give your praise. I can share what you said, but I can't give your praise. Yeah. I can't bow down for you and worship. I can't get down on my face and honor God for you. I can for me, but I can't for you. Yeah. You're going to have to worship yourself. But when I think about these wise men, we read the scripture here. It says that these wise men from the east, they came to Jerusalem. Now, and we're not trying to be critical, but the Bible don't say there were three wise men. The Bible just says there were wise men. The Bible don't say they rode camels. Though they may have rode camels, they may have rode horses, they may have walked. I don't know what they done. The Bible don't say them things. They may have been a whole, what would be the big word, an entourage, a whole big hundred. They might have been 100. They wise men, they might have been 150, up to 150 people traveling to come here for them wise men to come and see Jesus. Now, the only reason they come was to worship. It said, where is this King of the Jews? We have seen His star, and we are come to worship. That's the only thing they said. We're come to worship. We didn't come to see all the details. We come to worship. So there was a desire. To start with this morning, if you're going to celebrate Christmas, you're going to have a desire. There's going to have to be some kind of desire inside of you to celebrate Christmas the Bible way. They ought to be. They ought to be that desire. Now that desire ain't just going to come on its own. It's going to come by what the Lord puts in our heart. People that don't know the Lord ain't going to worship the Lord. People that don't love the Lord ain't going to worship the Lord. People who are not thankful to the Lord, they're not going to worship. But there's a desire down inside that we might fall down. You know, the worship, we've told you before, the meaning of worship is to adore with extravagant love. To bow down and worship and adore Him because ain't nobody. What's the... all the Christians, come let us
adore.
Come let us worship. That's what they're saying. Come let us adore Him. Come let us worship. The Christmas carols, our gospel songs, the meanings of the Christmas carols. But here the wise men come. They had a desire to find Him. Now it wasn't easy. Now it said they come from the east. Now I've read, I've listened to other preachers, and I've read commentaries, and they allow they probably come from Babylon. It's where these people come from. If that be the case, I don't know that. Everybody understand? I don't know that. But they allow that the wise men came from the east. They come from toward Babylon anyway. If they did come from Babylon, that'd be 300 miles. Can you imagine traveling 300 miles on a horse or a camel or walking to worship? Now, we put forth effort this morning to come and worship, but we didn't travel 300 miles. And we didn't ride a horse. And we didn't ride no camel. And we didn't walk. But we come for the same reason. All right? So it was a desire that was strong enough, that was going to cover some distance. We understand that. People said, well, how would they know about the Lord if they lived in Babylon? Well, Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel had spread the gospel. Daniel told them about the Lord in Babylon. There was a lot of gospel given in Babylon. There was a lot of truth given in Babylon. So maybe that's why they were wise men. These wise men are noted for knowing things about science, knowing things about scripture, knowing things about all kinds of things. They weren't just smart guys. I mean, they were wise guys, all right? Not smart aleks, but they were wise men. So they had a desire, and they had to cover some distance. Can you imagine the danger? It was a little dangerous this morning, wasn't it? It was a little dangerous. Some were a little scared this morning. You're not bad if ain't nobody else around, but when the other people start getting around you in the tractor and trailers and the roads are slick and they start crowding you over because they're on their phone or gawking around and I watch them tractor and trailers go over Of course, it don't affect my driving. Everybody says I can't drive anyway. So, but it affects a lot of people's driving. All right. But the thing of the danger, all of these things these wise men did was just to worship. See, sometimes we need to understand that worship is necessary and worship is worth it. Do you believe that this morning? You believe worship is worth it?
Yes.
I believe, ain't that worthy? Ain't that part of the word or the root word for worship worthy? That he is worthy? He's worthy. It don't matter how much distance I got to cover. It don't matter how dangerous it might be for me. There's a desire put down in my heart because of Emmanuel, God with us, to worship him. Huh? You think about that. Think about that. Just simple things. And wise men are still doing the wisest thing you could do. But I want to look, there's a couple of things here, three things I want us to think about how we can worship. Now, we're going to celebrate Christmas by worship. But there's three things here in the Scripture that we see that we're going to have to understand that's going to be necessary for worship. The first thing is going to be the Spirit, the ministry or the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The ministry of the Spirit is what calls us. You cannot worship. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well in John chapter 4? That we must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit has to be involved for us to be able to worship. Do you know that? Now, something drawled these men, these wise men, to come worship. Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And just give you a truth here this morning. John chapter 6 verse 44 says, Jesus says this. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." There's got to be a drawing. He told the woman at the well in John 4 that God is the Spirit, and we worship him in spirit and truth. So God, the Spirit, draws. And that puts that desire. That desire don't come just because something good happened or that you got a gift. But you got saved. You got eternal life. And that God that comes inside your heart moves you and draws you to come and worship. Because it's Him inside of me. It's the Spirit inside of me. What does the John say going through the Gospel of John and say that when He will come, He will speak of me. When He'll not speak of Himself, but speak of me. When He comes, He'll guide you in all truth. When He comes, He'll teach you these things. He'll always be bragging on Jesus. When the Holy Spirit moves in your heart, the Holy Ghost always moves you to brag on Jesus the same way. We don't have nothing else to brag on, but just the Lord. So I believe that we can say that there's a ministry of the Spirit. You say, well, don't say that. Well, I believe that's what drawed them to come that far to worship the King of the Jews. You believe that this morning? Now there's something else here. There's the ministry of the Scripture. We can't forget the Scripture. You're not going to come and worship without the Scripture. Huh? It's right here. Let's look here in verse 5. It says, "And he said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is what? Written by the prophet." They come to Jerusalem. They come to Bethlehem to find Jesus. They come there because the Scripture said that's where He would be. Can I tell you this morning that the Scripture is going to tell you where Jesus is? With the Scripture, you're going to find Him to worship. With the Scripture, don't put the Bible. It started out, I laughed to myself when Clark started out this morning after he sang in Sunday school. He said, "Reasons to read the Bible." Can I tell you another one that would be just to worship? I ain't going to be able to worship without this book, Clark. I got to have this Bible to worship correctly. The wise men. Now remember, they're wise men. And they wasn't going to be able to worship without the Scripture. They weren't going to know where to worship. They ain't going to know how to worship without the Scripture. You need your Bible this morning, and the Bible's going to bring you to Christ. You think about that. And there's more. There's more than that. How about the ministry of the star? Huh? How about the ministry of the star? Can we go on down? Let's do this. Look here. And we'll go ahead and read verse 8 again. It says, He went and He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, not a star, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Huh? And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child, Mary, with Mary his mother, and found, what did they do? They worshiped him from the ministry of the star, from the ministry of the Spirit, from the ministry of the Scripture. Well, what's that star? Well, was it an angel? I don't believe so. I don't believe it was an angel. Could have been. It don't say him. It don't say he. It says the star. I believe it's the presence of something. I don't believe it was a comet or anything like that. I don't believe it was some kind of regular star because it moved and guided. You know what I believe it to be? I believe it to be the glory of God. I believe it to be the Shekinah glory of God. I believe it to be God's power is what. Can I tell you, you can't worship in your own power? That you got to have the Lord to be able to worship. You got to have His Spirit. You got to have His power. You say, why would you think that? Well, I go back in Exodus and I read that when the children of Israel were traveling in the wilderness, they had a pillar of fire and they had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What was that? Was that not the glory of God? Well, come down and present His presence in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. It wasn't a star. Huh? Can I tell you, it was the glory of God. Huh? When the angel come and talk to the shepherds out in the night he was born, and what did it say shone round about him? Now they seen the star, they seen all this thing going on, and the glory of the Lord shone around about him. I believe it to be the glory of God. Huh? I can see that would be a good Bible way to worship, would be with the glory of God. I won't do it by the ministry of the Spirit that lives inside of me and gives me a desire. I won't do it by the ministry of the Scripture that's going to guide me how to worship. And it's going to be by the ministry of the star, the glory of God. Is that not what it says here? Let's just read it again here. It says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Huh? It brought joy. I believe the glory of God brings joy. Huh? You believe that this morning? I'm just trying to give you some things to think about. And I'm not much on Christmas messages. And I thought I'm going to preach a Christmas message. That's the way the Lord is leading. So think about it. That I might just worship. That I might just worship. We had one of our Christmases yesterday. We don't have many Christmas. We had one of them yesterday. And we had fun. We had food. We had good food. They had ham. They had brisket. Ain't much better than brisket. It's hard to beat a pork. It's hard to beat anything off a hog. All right? But we had brisket and we had pork and we had corn pone and cornbread. I mean, we just had. Is that not good? That's good, ain't it, Rick? Can we live off corn pone and brisket? I can live off that. And we celebrated Christmas. We laughed. We deer hunted. We done everything. Then we went in, and the Santa Claus come, and they had their presents. And then they gathered around the piano. And they gathered around the piano, and they didn't sing "Here Comes Santa Claus," and they didn't sing "Jingle Bells." What they started singing was the gospel. They started singing the songs in Trista and Baby Gail and Cheryl Ann and Hannah and Mackenzie and the girls, the Smiley and Ray Ray. They gathered around the piano and they sung praises unto the Lord, song after song after song, and they even got cut loose on that alabaster box and worshiped, and it got pretty real in that living room singing. And you know what we were doing? We were celebrating Christmas. You know how we was doing it? We were worshiping. That's how we were doing. Now we had worshiped. We had celebrated Christmas all that other way. We had celebrated. We hugged and we was glad everybody was there, and we eat till we was ashamed, and then took stuff home to eat later and be more ashamed, and all of that was the way it is. And we had gifts and all of that was great. But when we celebrated, boy, we worshiped. We worshiped. Can I tell you, if you want to really celebrate Christmas, you say, "Well, I can't sing." Yes, you can. Yes, you can sing. For you put a song in your mouth, put a new song in your mouth, you can sing. You sing from your heart. Oh, you can praise Him. For what has He done for you? Nobody knows. Nobody. I love that song at Alabaster Box. It says, "For nobody knows the cost of my Alabaster Box. Nobody knows what He's done for me. Nobody knows what He's forgiven. Nobody knows where exactly we were. Nobody knows how exactly we felt." And when we give Him our worship, it's a personal love and adoration to the glory of God in the highest this morning. So we can worship. And you can. You can. You don't have to have a crowd. You don't have to have nobody. Maybe tonight you can worship. Maybe you want to hold it off till Christmas Eve next Wednesday. And everybody else done went to bed and you slip in there. Maybe by your Christmas tree or by a candle. And just worship. I'm just telling you, you can do it. And you can celebrate Christmas. But it's going to be, I believe, you ain't going to be able to do it without the ministry of the Spirit. Don't believe you're going to be able to do it without the ministry of the Scripture. I don't believe you're going to be able to do it without the ministry of the glory of God. It's going to have to be that. I believe that's how you're going to be able to worship this morning. But there's more. There's more in this passage of Scripture. I believe worship is important. See, that glory of God, His glory is going to draw us to worship. You know what it's going to show me? It's going to show me His purity. It's going to show me His mercy. It's going to show me His perfection, His righteousness. It's going to show me His grace. It's going to show me His power. Most of all, it's going to show me His presence. Did you catch what I said earlier when we started? That it's not about presence, but it's about presence. It's not about presence, but it's about presence. English language is so funny. You say it the same way and it don't mean nothing. Presence. Him. Think about that. But there's something else. We see the wise men sought Him, but then the wise men brought Him something. Let's look and see. We're talking about celebrating Christmas. Let's start at verse 11 again. Everybody okay? Everybody with me? It says, "When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures..." Now, we always concentrate on these three. They may have been many treasures. The Bible don't say they were just three. The Bible don't say they were just three boxes. That's how we portray it to get everybody to understand it. It says that when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts. Now, is that different than the treasures? I think they had horses and mules and camels loaded down with stuff. They weren't coming to see a farmer. They weren't coming to see a carpenter. They were coming to see a king. They said, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" And I believe them wise men brought riches. I bet they bought groceries. I bet they had the useless pile of stuff that ever was, because they was coming to be in the presence of the King. Listen, when you come to the wars, you bring all you got. Because He's worth it this morning. Bring all you got. Well, what did they bring? They brought gold. Huh? That's what it says, ain't it? And they presented unto Him gifts, gold. Gold. Well, what else would you bring a king? What else would you bring the King of Glory other than gold? Huh? He might not need it, but that would be a way to honor Him, would it not? He is King. Is that what it says? Verse 2 says, where is He that is born King of the Jews? Think about that. He is King. He is King. God with us. Emmanuel. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Is everybody still with me? Isaiah chapter 9. Look how important He is. Look at verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful. Ain't He wonderful? And His name shall be called Counselor. Huh? He tells us, we don't tell Him. His name shall be the Mighty God. Huh? Ain't that something? His name shall be the Everlasting Father. Huh? Think about it. This is who the wise men come to see. That's who they come to worship. Listen, when you come to worship and celebrate Christmas, you're not just worshiping just anybody. You're worshiping Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Huh? Royalty, huh? Says the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon His kings. He's a king. Huh? He's a king this morning. We bring Him gold. Bring Him gold that we might be able to help celebrate Christmas. Yeah. We alright? Then there's something else here. Frankincense. Do you know that frankincense ain't for nobody but God? Turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 30. The frankincense ain't allowed really to be given nobody but the Lord. Huh? It's not just any old perfume. It's not just any old smell. But it was made just for the Lord. Look in Exodus chapter 30. Start in verse 34. Just so happens that the heading in my Bible says worship. The incense, type of prayer and praise, is for the Lord. It's spiritual, not sensual. Can I tell you that worship is not sensual?
That's correct.
Can I tell you that? That worship is spiritual?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our worship we do is sensual. Based on feeling, not fact. Based on what moves our flesh, not what moves our being. Huh? I believe it says, I'm speaking of Jesus in the books of Acts, in whom He moves and we have our being. He is everything. Huh? Let's look here and read in Exodus chapter 30. Is everybody there? Look at verse 34. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, static, and onycha and galbaum, these sweet spices, with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy. Who for? For the Lord. It's for the Lord. They brought that because they brought the gold because they said he was king. They brought the frankincense because they knew he was God. Are you listening to me? They knew he was king. They knew he was God. Do you know he's God this morning? You can't worship him if you don't believe him to be God. He can't be a man. He can't be a man, or the Holy Ghost wouldn't allow you to worship him. He can't be a man, or the Scripture wouldn't direct you to worship him. He can't be a man because the Shekinah glory wouldn't bring the praise to him. He's got to be God. Well, can I tell you, Jesus is God. He's God. And that frankincense is for the Lord himself. And there's one more, it says, and myrrh. Why do they bring myrrh? Why would they bring myrrh? Well, let's look and see. How about John chapter 19? John chapter 19. See if we can find something here. Let me think here. Is it in John 19? I thought it was in John 19, ain't it? Well, may help me there. I know it's in Mark chapter 15. Let's look back in Mark chapter 15. I was thinking it said mingled with myrrh in John 19. Look in Mark chapter 15. Y'all okay? I'm okay. John chapter 15. Let's start here, verse 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with what? Myrrh. But he received it not. Can I tell you, they brought him myrrh because of death. They bought him myrrh because he was going to die. Can I tell you that this wonderful Savior was born to die? And they brought him gold because he was king. And they brought him frankincense because he was God. And they brought him myrrh because he was going to be the Savior. When you worship this year, when you celebrate Christmas, why don't we just go ahead and worship him for who he is? Huh? Can we do that? Is everybody all right with that this morning? Yeah. Celebrate Christmas. You want to celebrate Christmas this year? Yeah. Let's worship. Yeah. Let's worship. Amen. But let's look. We got to look back one more time here at Matthew chapter 2. Because there's a way you got to do it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother. It says, and they fell down and worshiped him. We're going to have to come down. We're going to have to come down from our high horse and for how we feel about ourselves and everything else. And we're going to have to humble ourselves and worship. Celebrate Christmas this year. Everybody understand that? For he is King. He is God. He is Savior. Bring him all we got. That's your Christmas message this morning. Next Sunday they'll have a program. I won't preach next Sunday morning. They'll be having the program. So I'll give you a Christmas message today. All right? Is that all right with everybody? Sherlandy, go to the piano. You go to the piano. And Clark, get that hallelujah, what a Savior all over again. And let's sing this morning. Let's stand together. If you got a need this morning, you need to come, you come. You're not saved, you come, get saved. If you want to just kneel down and worship, you're allowed to this morning. Right here round and round this altar. If you want to lift your hands and pray, that's okay. We come to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's sing right now. All right, 169. Let's sing together.